Let's go in the Bible to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. I know if you've looked at the title in your notes tonight, you probably are wondering what the title has to do with Genesis chapter 8. Hopefully we'll find out. Genesis chapter 8. Look at verse number 18, and we'll read down to verse 22. And then keep your Bible handy. We're going to look at a number of passages in Genesis 6, 7, and 8 tonight. So Genesis chapter 8, verse number 18 is where we'll begin. The Bible says, "And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." No one is counting off the days until Christmas with any more excitement than Noah was counting the days until he could get off the ark. Over a year, this man has spent on an ark with a whole lot of animals. If you go back to Genesis chapter 7, we see a little bit of the timeline of the flood. We don't often think about the timeline of the flood. We know the story of the flood and what took place. But look at chapter 7 and verse number 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, he was 600 years old. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, Noah had been on the ark about 7 days when this flood took place. In the 600th year of Noah, second month, and the 21st day here, or 27th day, I'm sorry, the 17th day of that month. Now look over in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 13. "And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, and the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dry." So if you calculate the math there, he goes into the ark 7 days prior to his 600th year, the second month, 17th day. The ark now has rested. The earth is dried. It's the 601st year. Second month, 27th day. So for over a year, Noah has been on this ark. You know, the Christmas season seems to come a little earlier every year, doesn't it? I mean, the decorations go up and the sales go on. And yet for most of us, Christmas rush kind of begins after Thanksgiving. At least for those of us that are saved, it seems like just let us get through Thanksgiving first and then we'll think about Christmas. But boy, as soon as Thanksgiving is over, we've got Black Friday. Then we've got Small Business Saturday. And now we've got Cyber Monday. And we've got Giving Tuesday. And I don't know what today was. I think today was, I wonder where all my money went Wednesday. Really not sure. But boy, the rush is on, isn't it? And we're now marching toward Christmas. And it seems like when we look at the schedule and we look at the activities planned and we look at family gatherings and all the rest, it just seems like there's absolutely no time to breathe. We look at the schedule and boy, there's just something every day that has to be done. There's something many of the evenings that we have to attend, or at least we are expected to attend. And we look at the calendar and we just kind of think, when in the world am I going to even have a break? When is this going to end? The schedules are full, family, situations, work, church, the kids, meals, gift buying, travel. Do you find yourself dreading the rush to the greatest season of the year? We wonder, how are we going to survive? Can we pay the bills? Can we make everybody happy? Is it going to be time to get it all done? Will everybody get home for the holidays? And on, the anxiety kind of rages in our heart. But can I ask you tonight to just take a deep breath? And let's see in the life of Noah three priorities that Noah had as he anticipated the great day of deliverance in his life. The day when he would finally walk off that ark and see that new earth that God had created for him. I want you to see, first of all, the priority of a faithful endurance. Now, Noah lived in a very wicked day. If you go back to Genesis chapter 6 for a moment and look at verse number 5, God describes the time or the culture that Noah lived in. In verse number 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. What an amazing passage. Just a few chapters before, in chapter 1 and 2, we read of the creation of God. And on that sixth day, the crown of his creation was created, man and the woman. And God looked at it all and he said, it's all very good. But now, just a few chapters later, God is sick. God is fed up. God looks at the wickedness that prevails in the culture. And he says, I'm sorry that I even made this. I'm going to destroy it. Here was a very wicked day. A very wicked culture. But notice the next verse. For we see in verse 8 a life of contrast. In verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, God is looking at culture and he's saying, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of this wickedness. I'm fed up with this sin. I'm sorry I even made it. I'm going to destroy it. But in contrast to all that, here's a life that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Think about what it says about Noah. We read what it said about the culture. We read what God said about the people he had created and the sin that was now prevailing. But Noah finds grace in God's sight. Noah was perfect in his generations. The word perfect here carries the idea of uncontaminated. In the midst of this contamination, this pollution of sin, everywhere you looked, here was Noah uncontaminated. A life of contrast. A man walking with God. I wonder, do we stand out in this wicked generation in which we live? The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8 said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord Jesus, when he was here, pondered the thought, when I come back, will anyone stand in contrast to the wickedness of that generation? We think of Ezekiel's day where God said through Ezekiel, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I might not destroy it. But I found none. And Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conversation, your manner of life, the way that you live, may your conversation make it different. Make it contrast. Have it stand out so that those that don't know God can glorify God through your life. Does your life represent a contrast to this wicked culture in which we find ourselves? Now notice, this life of contrast leads to a life of criticism. In verse number 3 of Genesis 6, if you go back up, it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. From the time that God saw this wicked culture and decided that he was going to destroy it with a flood, he said, I'm going to give him 120 years. And he commissions Noah now to build an ark. If you go down to verse number 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood." And he gives the commission, he gives the command now for Noah to build this ark. And so for 120 years, Noah is tasked with warning the people. Judgment is coming. The flood is going to destroy. God is sick of sin. Repent. And for 120 years, Noah preaches and he labors and he builds. And the people, they rejected. They laughed. They mocked. Luke tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they builded, they planted. They just went on in their same lifestyle without any regard for the message of God. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 tells us, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, those days, 120 years, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Imagine the next 120 years in the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church with only 8 decisions. Imagine our pastor preaching for the next 120 years and only 8 people respond. A life of criticism. But notice a life of contentment. For 120 years, Noah carries out the command of God. Noah busies himself with preaching and building. And then he's brought into this ark and confined there for over a year. The caring of the animals, the stuffiness, the smells perhaps. I grew up on a farm. I've cleaned my share of hog pens. I've cleaned my share of chicken coops. This was not easy. This was not something that was desirable, no doubt. He couldn't just go outside. He couldn't go for a walk. He couldn't get away from it all. Yet we do not read one record of Noah ever complaining. No record of Noah ever asking for relief. Noah never says, "Lord, can I get a pass for a few days? Can I take a break? Can I get away for a bit? Give me a way out." No, here was a life of contentment. Have you learned contentment? Paul said, "Whatsoever state I am, I have learned therewith to be content." Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now remember, contentment is not based on our circumstances. Contentment is based on our resources in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You're content. Your circumstances are going to change from day to day. Your circumstances may be different next week than they are this week. Your circumstances could change that fast yet tonight. But our contentment is not based on our circumstances. It's based on our resources that we have in Christ Jesus. Here was a faithful endurance. And that faithful endurance was fueled by a future expectation. Notice secondly tonight, a future expectation. Endurance. How do we be faithful? How can we be faithful in this culture? How can we keep going? We live in a similar day of Noah. We see the violence in the earth. We see the culture deteriorating. We see people walking away from God and truth and neglecting religion even. We see what's happening in our culture. How are we going to be faithful? The way you stay faithful is to be fueled by the future expectation. How does a mom make it to Christmas Day? I mean, all the cooking and the baking and the preparation of the house and the decorating of the tree and all of the things that go into that. And then the company that's coming and all of those things. How does mom do it? Well, she endures because she's looking forward to Christmas morning. The smiles on those children's faces or the grandchildren's faces, the fulfilled look on everybody after they eat. The house filled with family and children happy and memories being made and others relived. You see, mom endures because she's fueled by that future expectation. How did Noah make it for 120 years? How did he endure? How did he keep going without complaining? How did he keep going in a state of contentment? How? Because he was looking for that granted deliverance. Look at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Oh, he was looking forward to that time when God would say, come into the ark. It's time for you and your family to be delivered from the coming judgment. Look at verse number 5. Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean beasts and of the beasts that are not clean, of the fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Look down at verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased mightily, greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they were that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Imagine Noah inside that ark, realizing that by God's grace he had been spared a granted deliverance. I don't know how much of this book you've read. Perhaps you've read verses in the Bible about death. Perhaps you've read verses in the Bible about the coming judgment. Perhaps you've read verses in the Bible about hell. But aren't you glad tonight to know that you have a granted deliverance? Amen. That because you trusted Christ as your Savior, that one day there'll be no more death, Amen. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. How can we endure this life? How can we keep going? Because of the great expectation, that which is coming, a granted deliverance. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know anything about that coming deliverance, you don't know anything about how to get to heaven, you don't know anything about how to escape the judgment that's coming, listen, tonight is the night of salvation. Experience, understand what it means that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A granted deliverance, but notice a guarded desire. 40 days and 40 nights, Noah hears the rain beating on the roof of that ark. He feels that ark being lifted on the waters. He feels that ark as it begins to float on those waters. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. The waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. 5 months, Noah can feel that ark moving with those waters that were upon the face of the earth. But on that seventh month, he felt that ark suddenly hit something solid. 7 months, he feels that ark is now resting again upon the earth. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the anticipation? As God had promised this deliverance, that God was sparing his life, and now he was going to have a new life. And 7 months, 7 long months on an ark, it's finally resting on dry ground. But wait. In verse number 5, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. 3 more months. Another month in verse 6, it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Another month. Verse 8, he sends out this dove, but the dove had no place to rest, and so it comes back. And he sends out a raven in verse number 7, and the raven goes out, and of course, being a carnivorous bird, it eats of the flesh that has died, and it's surviving out there and all the carnage. But the dove returns, as we see in verse number 9. The dove comes back and Noah brings it back into the ark. In verse 10, he stayed yet other 7 days. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days. You see a guarded desire here. You have to believe Noah wanted off this boat. You have to believe the excitement that must have come to his mind as that ark finally rested from all of the waves and the floating on that water, and the rain had stopped. And Noah probably wondered, I wonder what's happening out there. And finally, he's able to open that window and he's able to see. But God says, no, not yet. Months go by and weeks go by waiting on God. Waiting on His promise. Have you learned to wait? Be still. And know that I am God. I don't know if you were here for the winter revival back in January. But you might recall the first message was about being quiet. Being still. So how are we doing? Now is no time to get anxious. Now is no time for us to get in a rush, take things into our own hands. God will fulfill His promises. You say, but he hasn't answered my prayer yet. He hasn't provided what I need. He's not meeting this expectation. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Because there finally comes a glorious day. Look at chapter 8 and verse 13. It came to pass in the 600th and first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth out of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. What a day. What a day. Why? Because God keeps his promises. Our expectations based on God's promises will be met. We will see Jesus. One day we will be in heaven. Now I know at times it seems like I'm not so sure. Where is he? Why doesn't he come back? Why doesn't he clean this mess up? Why doesn't he get here? Listen, Job said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. Listen, disease may come to our body. Our life may become frail. Our needs may not be met every time we pray for God to provide. But listen, God will fulfill his promises. We will see him. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious day. A faithful endurance. A future expectation. And as this day finally comes, notice finally tonight, a first expression. A first expression. Now, if I had been Noah, when that door finally opened, when God opened that door, you know what I would have done? I would have run. I would have got as far from that ark as I could. I mean, I've been in there over a year. I'm going to go for a jog. I'm going to breathe some fresh air. I'm going to eat some fresh food. I'm going to build me a house. I'm getting away from all of that. That's what I would have done. But not Noah. What does he do? Look at verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. A priority of worship. A priority of worship. My priority would have been, get me out of here. Lord, thank you. It's finally over. I would have run. I would have leaped. I would have gotten as far from what I'd been confined to for all of those months, but not Noah. Can I tell you tonight, don't get so worked up at Christmas there's no worship. Amen. In fact, make worship a priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the cookies will get baked. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everybody's plane will be on time. God's time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everybody will get along at the family reunion. All these things shall be added unto you. We get far too busy at Christmas. In fact, the birth of Christ gets buried in our busyness. You say, but Brother Getz, there's so much to do, and there's so many things to attend, and there's so many bills to pay, and I've only got so much time, and I just don't know. I don't think I can make all the services, and I don't know if I can be at the musical, and I don't know if I have time to go hang some door knockers or door hangers, and I don't know if I can go to the Sunday school class party, or I just have got too much to do. But notice in this passage, verse 20, not only the priority of worship, but notice the provision of worship. Verse 20, And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Whoa, wait, what did he do? Wait, did he just cause some species of animals to become extinct? Somebody needs to report him. We just lost the opportunity for these animals. No. No, not true. Go back to chapter 6. And look at verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant for my promise. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So Noah is commanded to come into this ark, and he's to bring two of every fowl, two of every creeping thing, two of every animal, a male and a female. Why? So that when this flood is over, they can reproduce, they can replenish the earth with these animals, right? And all the pictures show the animals coming, two by two, by two, by two, male and female. But look at chapter 7 and verse 2. Of every clean beast, thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and the female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Now, what kind of beast is Noah offering in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20? Clean beasts. The unclean, two by two, but the clean, by sevens. Why seven? If God wanted the clean beasts to multiply faster, okay, he's going to bring three pairs so they can multiply faster. But you only need six to have three pairs. But God brought an extra, didn't he? God said, I want seven. Why? Because God made provision for the worship. And can I tell you something? God will provide everything we need in a busy time to worship. We think, I can't do it. There's just too much going on. You don't know my schedule. You don't know what I'm responsible for. And we think, I don't have time for God. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for the musical. I don't have time to tell people about it. I just don't have time. Well, no. God puts a priority on worship, and he always makes provision for that worship. Listen, God will give you time to get to every service. Put a priority on it. Watch God provide the time. God will give you the money to pay all the bills and bring a gift for Jesus, whose birthday it is. He will. Put a priority on it. Put a priority on worshiping God, and he'll give you the strength to get through the rush of Christmas. So let's just take a deep breath. Nobody was anticipating this day like Noah was. We're anticipating in a few weeks to enjoy Christmas, and there's a lot between now and then. But oh, may we not forget a principle that Noah teaches us here of worship. And there's never a time on the calendar where we ought to worship the Lord any more than on his birthday.